T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Everybody. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. Let's get a mic check over there, Schmitzy.
Microphone check, one, two. What is this?
Oh, yeah.
Sounding crisp.
Your boy on the ones and twos. We've got Jim Paschke coming up at 8:30. Sort of a love letter to him. I'm excited to talk to Jim. Jim's the nicest guy ever. At least that's what he appears to be. And then when you meet him, you are like, yeah, that's true. He is the nicest guy ever. Of course, calling the Bucks on Bally Sports Wisconsin. This is final season. We'll talk to him at 8:30. Pat Baldwin Sr., father of Patrick Baldwin Jr., the number 4 recruit in the country, is going to go to Milwaukee, which did start to cause a little bit of a ripple nationally. He was recruited by Duke, Georgetown, among others. And he's the highest Wisconsin recruit ever. I mean, he's coming to Milwaukee. And so if you're not familiar with the situation here, that he's gone to school here now, and that his dad's the coach at Milwaukee, and you're from outside of the state or even outside of the area, you're like, what the hell? And it could be a trend or a sea change for how kids that are going to be future lottery picks, you could speculate. How they spend their college time. So we'll talk to the coach of your Milwaukee Panthers as season ticket demand was in full swing yesterday. Did you sign up yet, Schmitzy?
No, not yet, but I trust me, I will be there at every game. I was talking to Evan yesterday. I was like, hey, we should like take the opportunity. We should become like those broadcasters in semi-pro.
Okay, yeah.
Just become the play-by-play announcers for the Milwaukee Panthers. Maybe here on 1250 AM The Fan, we'll see.
I think that they're on station already.
Well, we'll just have our own. we'll do Twitch and make people pay to watch it.
I don't know if they have exclusive rights. I think that the Panthers would be like, yeah, all the radio stations can broadcast us if you want. What the hell do we care? Hell yeah, all stations.
Right. Why not?
So yeah, that could be something that you guys do. I was looking at some tickets. I may get into the buy season tickets and flip line of work.
You're just going to become a scalper?
I don't know.
Jeez.
Maybe.
Come on, dude. It's UW. It's the one time we have to shine.
I know, and I want to profit off of it.
Oh, man. You're like, you see this opportunity just like NBA Top Shot.
Yeah. My eyes turn to dollar signs.
You're ridiculous, man.
every situation that's possible. We'll talk to Patrick Baldwin Sr., the head coach, at 9:30. So we've got some really good guests to talk to, some really good basketball voices to talk to here today. Horvat joins us for the Horvat Happy Hour at 7, and Rami Makhlouf will squeeze him somewhere in there too. Rom Dog. We'll talk about the Brewers. Brandon Woodruff putting up insanely good numbers since the opening day start that did not go so well for him. But he has been very good in his, I believe, 7 outings since. Brewers benefit on a few Cardinals mistakes last night to get the victory. So we'll talk about that coming up. The Packers schedule we got to take a look at, but we start where any show would start when they have a signing like this. Blake Bortles is going to be a Green Bay Packer. Blake Bortles, a longtime quarterback with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles, who has a career record of 24-49, if you're interested in that sort of thing, spent 5 years with the Jaguars as primarily their starter, did go 10-6 in 2017, took his team to the AFC Championship game in which The Jaguars really should have won that game. There were a few calls that benefited New England. Had two playoff wins that year. So if you look at the stat that's going around, two playoff wins since 2017. Blake Bortles has two. Aaron Rodgers has two. He then spent 2019 as the backup in Los Angeles and then didn't do anything last year. So he, who has played with Nathaniel Hackett when our offensive coordinator was there in Jacksonville, some familiarity there, is going to be a Green Bay Packer. And I saw this news, and, you know, just like when the Packers brought in, they're bringing in Chad Kelly and another guy just for rookie camp. All right, you need just bring in some arms. If it's just going to be Jordan Love, if we don't know if or when Aaron Rodgers is going to return to this team, just bring him in and, you know, have bodies and maybe something hits. But what I was seeing yesterday was people panicking that Blake Bortles was signing with the Green Bay Packers. Legitimately panicking. And I'm going to bring up one guy in specific instead of subtweeting and only I know about it. I'm going to mention a guy who I've had a skirmish or two with on Twitter. Fellow blue check, Zach Cruz. Zach Cruz writes for the USA Today Packers Wire. I don't know if it's his full-time gig or what. But if there, so sometimes when I go after other blue check marks, like I did last night when I owned Benjamin Albright, and you can look at that on Twitter. Maybe I'll talk about that later at Winks Thinks. What others will, they'll look at me on Twitter and say, oh, this guy's got clout envy. Bart's just jealous that these other guys have more clout than him. I don't even know what that means, so that's not true. I will say, though, that if there's one guy I'm jealous about, it's Zach Cruz, because Zach Cruz doesn't do anything, and he gets a ton of credit for it. Like, Zach Cruz has 40,000 followers, and he can tweet, the Packers just scored a touchdown, and it gets 3,000 likes. And yeah, you want to you chase likes sometimes when you're in the Twitter game. The Packers will start and finish the season on the road for the third straight season, he tweeted yesterday. 523 likes. What? This is nothing. So he's a guy yesterday who sees the Blake Bortles signing and tweets, are you guys worried about Aaron Rodgers now? Man, this conflict is real now. Obviously, the Packers need QBs. They don't make this move if Rodgers is in camp. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But I use him as an example because I saw a lot of people yesterday and talked to some, too, that saw the Blake Bortles signing as it opened their eyes that this Rodgers situation is real. This Rodgers situation has always been real. It's been real. Rodgers, how did you not think it was real? Rodgers has dissension with the team. The team's like begging him to come back. Rodgers hasn't talked about any of this in 2 weeks. How could you not think it was real? Yes, the reporting around it has been super sloppy. Adam Schefter had a lot of information that he released on the most unnecessary day to release it because some other blue checks out there were being sloppy and reporting rumors as news. Then you've got TV anchors in Green Bay just saying, oh, I saw Aaron Rodgers. Oh, no, it was a tree. Oh, no, it was just a jersey on a rack. I got confused. What? So the reporting around this situation has been sloppy, but the dissension, the rift between Rodgers and the Packers has always been real. The signing of Blake Bortles shouldn't be the thing that opens your eyes. It should be that reporters like Rob Domofsky are saying 5% chance he comes back. It should be that John Kuhn and James Jones and A.J. Hawk are out there now trying to massage the situation and say, no, this is fixable. John Kuhn's getting a second career out of all this. I mean, this has always been real. The Blake Bortles signing is what tripped your trigger? Absolutely not. Now, do the Packers bring in Blake Bortles if Aaron Rodgers is in camp? That we don't know. Maybe. It is possible. Is Jordan Love ready to be QB2? We don't know. The Packers don't know. Is he ready to be QB1? I don't think so. There's a lot of questions that come out of this. Well, if you're going to bring in Blake Bortles, why don't you just bring back Tim Boyle? Yeah, I would have brought back Tim Boyle. But if they brought back Tim Boyle, nobody like cares. But then when you bring back, when you bring in Blake Bortles, you're like, oh my, I mean, they're bringing in Blake Bortles. They didn't like just trade for Russell Wilson. And you're like, oh, I guess Rodgers isn't going to be the quarterback. Blake Bortles ain't starting. Oh my God, Blake Bortles? Oh, he was referenced on The Good Place. Good show. It's Blake Bortles, man. This shouldn't be the bat signal that there's problem in paradise. Trouble in paradise. This shouldn't be it. Now, will Blake Bortles, if Rodgers is not the quarterback, will he start over Jordan Love? I don't know. Do you want to have that conversation today? Do you want to talk about that right this second? I don't know. We'll see what happens in camp. But they brought in Blake Bortles. Okay. Rodgers is still under contract. He's still a Packer. This isn't a warning sign like, oh, Rodgers is gone. The Packers could have done this because they need, again, you need training camp arms. They could be just protecting themselves if Rodgers doesn't come after June 1st, if he doesn't come for the OTAs or the mini camp. They could have a hunch that he's not going to come. He could have told them, look, we'll talk about this, but I'm absolutely not coming in June. Okay. They could have done that. I don't think this is anything more than there was a free agent quarterback and the Packers signed him. Now, if Rodgers leaves, if the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers to Denver, well, they'll probably get Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock in return. And that person will probably start. Or Jordan Love. I ironically love Blake Bortles as much as the next guy. But I don't think he's starting for the Green Bay Packers in week one of this football season. 414-799-1250. John is in Franklin. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Unfortunately, we're still talking about this story instead of the nice comeback late for the Brewers yesterday.
Yeah, give me 15 minutes and we'll get into the Brewers, if you don't mind.
I understand. Just hate to see Woodruff have that start go to waste. But anyway.
I just had to start the show by blasting some guy that probably doesn't even know who I am.
I got to tell you. So, you know, I'm not going to be running out and getting a Blake Bortles jersey. But the Packers have to do what the Packers have to do. And anybody that is now under the realization that this thing's real, well welcome to the club. Obviously, the thing is just a mess. And, if you know, until we hear from the man himself, it's all rampant speculation. I don't care what any player or any reporter has to say on this. I'll listen to it, but I'm not jumping off any buildings until I hear from the man himself. And the fact that we're not hearing from the man himself is, you know, concerning, because as Packer Nation is twisting in the room, but he's got to do what he's got to do. I understand that. This is his livelihood. But, you know, I just wish he would talk. I wish he would say something. You know, the Packers have to bring, they have to do the due diligence. They have to bring in a third quarterback. What, they were going to go into the season with two? This isn't news. I don't think this is leverage. The problem with this whole thing with Rodgers, if we're to believe what the facts seem to be as we understand them, the problems between him and Gutekunst are unfixable. You can't get the draft back. You can't get lost opportunities back. Is a couple more million dollars going to fix that? I don't know Aaron Rodgers, but it doesn't seem to me that the things that he's up to, what, are you going to bring Jordy Nelson back? Kumaro? I mean, I don't think these things are fixable.
Yeah, when John Kuhn last night was talking, I think he was with, well, I think John Kuhn was with a bunch of people yesterday, but he was talking about how the situation he thinks is fixable. I don't think this is, I'm with you, John. I don't think this is about money. If it was about money, I think they would have given him more money. I think it's about he wants to commit to, he's committed to Green Bay and he wants that commitment back. And then also there's things that he did that he's just, there's things that Gutekunst did that Rodgers isn't willing to, Rodgers isn't willing to forgive. And so how do you fix that rift between two people?
I don't know. I in my heart still believe he's going to be under center on game one, but would I bet a lot of money on it? No. My heart, my Packer fan inside of me is, I'm not saying I'm praying, but man, I'm hoping. You know, I want him to be under center. But like I said, this is all speculation because all we've heard is from all the experts and all the prognosticators. But we haven't heard from the only person that matters. The only person that matters. Until I hear from him, you know, then I'll start, you know, figuring out what's going to happen here along with everybody else. But bringing Blake Bortles in, I mean, that's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, like I it is just sports, so I would never pray on it. But last night I did have my knees on the side of my bed and my arms folded, and I did look up to the ceiling, and I was saying, please, please, please let Aaron Rodgers come back. I wouldn't consider that praying, but I was just talking to myself while on my knees.
Artie, God's got bigger fish to fry than the Packers' problems.
God's got a lot of fish to fry right now.
I love you, man. I'm out.
All right, love you too, Johnny. John and Franklin, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. There are a lot of fish that need to be fried. We'll just keep sticking to sports, hashtag here. On the Fan. So Blake Bortles in the fold. Will he be the starting quarterback week one when the Packers take on the New Orleans Saints? We knew this yesterday morning, this drop, that the Packers would take on the Saints week one. 3:25 window on Fox. At the same time, the Denver Broncos go to the Giants, also on Fox. So Fox is guaranteed to have Aaron Rodgers. If you didn't hear anyone make that joke, I'm proud to be the first for you to hear and the 9 millionth to make it. Now, this has shaken out similar to how I thought it would in terms of what does the NFL schedule look like and what do the schedule makers do with primetime games in the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers have as many primetime games as any other team. They are tied for the league lead in that, as they always are. People watch the Packers. But the question is, without Aaron Rodgers, will they still watch the Packers? Especially if Jordan Love is your starting quarterback, or Drew Lock, or whoever, and the Packers are 4-7 or 5-10 at the time. Are people going to tune in to the Packers? So they front-loaded and back-loaded this thing, or put the Packers in games where you're going to watch anyway. National TV games, week two, Monday Night Football against Detroit. Okay, early in the season, the worst the Packers could be is 0-1. It's Monday Night Football. You're watching. Packers, Detroit, okay. Week three, they're on Sunday Night Football at San Francisco. The worst the Packers can be is 0-2. Packers, Green Bay, that's a historic matchup. LaFleur and Shanahan are buddies. You're still going to watch it regardless. All right. Their next primetime game, nationally televised game, is week eight. But that's a Thursday nighter at Arizona. Well, geez, there's worse Thursday night matchups than that. The Panthers play the Texans on a Thursday night this year. Hey, anybody can play on Thursday night. Those of us that love this game, we watch Thursday night football. Then the Packers don't have another primetime game until week 14 against the Bears. Packers-Bears rivalry, always worth being on national TV. maybe at that point, the Packers are 6-6 and the Bears are 6-6. That's still a national draw. But Sunday Night Football, that late in the season, that could get flexed. So if the Packers are struggling without Aaron Rodgers, that could get flexed. They play on Christmas Day. There's a doubleheader Christmas Day. Well, I mean, you're going to watch that. Everybody's going to watch that. Last year on Christmas Day, the Vikings and the Saints played. It had monster ratings. The NFL is going to try to do with Christmas what they did with Thanksgiving. And even though the NBA's like, wait, Christmas is ours. The NFL's like, get the hell out of our way. We're taking over Christmas. And we don't even need to put our marquee games on there to do it. You want to put Lakers, Clippers? You want to put Bucks, Sixers? Okay, we're going to put Packers, Browns. And I think the other one is Colts, Cardinals. We're just gonna pick two random teams out of a hat and crush you in the ratings. So that's week 16. And then week 17, Sunday Night Football, another game. This is against Minnesota, but this can also get flexed. So the Packers do have their normal share of primetime games, but they're either early in the season when there's still a lot of interest and intrigue, and having Jordan Love as your quarterback, if that's what happened, is not going to kill ratings. And then they're at the end of the season where, yeah, if you've got Aaron Rodgers, now you're in a playoff run. And if you've got Jordan Love, and I'm assuming they would be not as good with Jordan Love as the quarterback, you're just going to flex those games out. So that's what the primetime schedule looks like. I'd love to win-loss this thing. Maybe we will with Horvat.
I already have.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Give it to me.
I got, well, what do you want, with Rodgers or with Love?
Both.
With Rodgers, I got them going 12-5.
Okay.
With Love, I got them going 6-11.
Where are your losses with Rodgers?
Ooh, I would say, just looking at it, I'm going to loss with San Francisco just because we know how Shanahan is against LaFleur. I think it's a loss against Pittsburgh if Devin Bush is healthy. Just that defense is ridiculous. I don't like Ben Roethlisberger, but I think that offense is good enough. Let's see, who else? I have them losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, too. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I don't see them beating Kansas City. I have also have them losing to the Los Angeles Rams. I know you're not all in on Matthew Stafford with the Rams.
Not yet.
But I am. I think that's just such a key factor, and their defense is good enough with Aaron Donald and the rest of them, so that... I think I have them also losing to Baltimore and Cleveland, too. A lot of these AFC North teams I got them losing to. They're just tough.
Cleveland at home against on Christmas Day, you got the Packers losing?
I just got a bad feeling about, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, and then them ground and pounding with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And if Odell Beckham Jr., too, is back, I just think there's a little too much all-around talent there. And you got to account for injuries, too, and stuff like that. It's not like this team's going to be healthy all the way in Week 16 and all that.
One thing that people are excited about is the end of the schedule. So they start primarily on the road. They've got four of their first six on the road. They've actually got six of their first nine on the road. So the Packers are going to be road warriors to start the season, which means you have more games at home in December and now into January. There were years where it seems like the NFL purposely kept the Packers out of Lambeau in January or December, and it was really odd. But this year, there's a lot of outdoor games. But they don't have their bye week till week 13. And Adrian Amos was tweeting about that last night. He goes, wait, we got a bye week in week 13? How's that fair? Oh, I guess we have to play 30 games to get to the Super Bowl anyway. What's it matter? So week 13 is an insanely weak bye week. We're going to get past Thanksgiving before the Packers get a week of rest. So that is going to be a challenge for the team. New Orleans, Detroit, San Fran, Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, Chicago, Washington, Arizona. KC, Seattle, Minnesota, the Rams, bye. Chicago, Baltimore, Cleveland, Minnesota, Detroit. That is 17 games. Do not forget. 17 games in this 2021 schedule. Check out 1250 AM The Fan for more details. I don't know. Can I win-loss this thing? Let me win-loss it quick with Rodgers. They'll beat the Saints. They'll beat Detroit. With Rodgers, they'll beat the Niners. They'll beat Pittsburgh. They'll beat Cincinnati. They'll beat Chicago. They'll beat Washington. Go to Arizona, they'll beat them. Could they lose to Kansas City? That'll be a win. They'll beat Seattle. They'll beat Minnesota. They'll beat L.A. They'll beat Chicago. They'll beat Baltimore. Cleveland's a win. Minnesota, Detroit. I got them at 17-0.
Yeah.
I think most of you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Let's see. Would Jordan Love? Well, they'll lose to the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, Taysom Hill.
This is it's looking bad when you win, loss it, and all that with Love, and then there's like, you know, 5-6 games losing streaks, and you're like, oh, man.
Detroit, San Fran, Pittsburgh, Cincy. Yeah, with Jordan Love, I got them going 0-17.
Interesting. Expert analysis there, man.
If Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback, give me 14-3.
No. Maybe the other way around.
And if the Packers trade and get Drew Lock in here, give me...
No, Teddy Bridgewater.
Give me the Packers have quit by week 8 and have folded as a franchise.
No, Teddy Bridgewater, man.
Bridgewater? Bridgewater give me like 9-8.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about my boy Chad Kelly?
I don't really consider... I don't think he's going to make the roster. He'll be cut before the regular season starts.
He might be cut before the show's over.
He's just a training camp arm.
He might be cut in a few minutes. So more on the schedule throughout the show. And again, Blake Bortles, welcome to Green Bay. That could be a big matchup. November 28th, Blake Bortles takes on his former team, the LA Rams. People forget he did back up the LA Rams and Jared Goff. Blake Bortles backed up Jared Goff, if anybody is wondering how good Blake Bortles still is. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 414-799-1250. You could tweet us, 1250 AM, The Fan. Check out Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com for all of your needs on the exterior of the home. We're talking windows, we're talking siding, we're talking doors. Beautiful, customizable entryway doors. You've got the door of your dreams. Now, if you're a little younger, you might think, the door of my dreams? Trust me. You get to an age where you have a door of your dreams. So if you have a door of your dreams, Window Select can make that happen for you. Windows, siding, and doors, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. They have got the buy one, get one deal on the windows. Good for as many windows as you need. You could need 900 windows. The deal continues for you. You would get 450 windows for free. This is an incredible offer they have on top of their other offers, including no payments for a full year when you do get their products installed with Windows Select. Also, everything comes with a double lifetime warranty at Windows Select. So your products are going to last. If something happens, no questions asked, they will come out and repair those for you. Again, Windows Select, 262-703-3500. 262-703-3500. Check them out, windowselect.com. Did the Brewers play better last night, or did the Cardinals kind of gift them a victory? I think it's more of the latter there. We'll talk Brewers, Cardinals, and just an incredible start. After the rough opening day appearance that wasn't Brandon Woodruff-like, he has been terrific. We'll tell you how terrific coming up.
Swinging a fly ball, hit well to center. Bader drifting back onto the warning track, slips and falls. Is going to head to third. They're going to try and send him around. Here's the relay throw home. Not in time. Kane dashes two bases and is able to score as Harrison Bader made the catch on the warning track. Slipped. The ball popped out and Kane scored. Wow.
So that's how the Brewers needed to score a run. They needed a little bit of help from the Cardinals in the outfield with Harrison Bader. Lorenzo Cain scores, and I've never seen a guy so happy to cross home plate as I was when Lorenzo Cain was in the dugout having the time of his life. So Brewers get the run. They keep Woodruff in into the eighth inning, which was the right decision, we all agree. And then, of course, he gives up a home run to Tyler O'Neill, who barely got it over the right field fence. And we're talking barely got it over where the restaurant normally is. That ATI club or whoever sponsored it these days, that has been a COVID casualty. We'll see if they open that back up anytime soon with fans essentially on the field if you have those seats. But he was able to barely get it over and get the home run. So things were tied. So the Brewers, they had one run, the benefit of an error. And then how the hell was this team going to score another run? Eighth inning, Colton Wong lines out, one out. Eighth inning, Lorenzo Cain flies out, two outs. Eighth inning, Daniel Vogelbach strikes out, three outs, question mark. Wild pitch, so Vogelbach advances to first. So the Brewers, essentially, they're on borrowed time here. Or they have house money. They've got house money. They should have had their third out, but Vogie's on first. So Pablo Reyes comes in, and Travis Shaw comes up to the plate. And normally in baseball, when you make an unforgivable mistake, you have to pay for it, and the Cardinals did.
Shaw to right center. It's headed for the gap. It's down. On his horse, Pablo Reyes. He rounds third. There will be a throw. Not in time. Travis Shaw go-ahead double in the eighth.
Well, better late than never, and a huge smile there from Reyes. Come off the bench, pitch run, and better make sure those hamstrings are loose, as he had to get it into top speed right away. Shaw hit this ball so hard.
And that, of course, the classic TV duo of Jeff Levering and Chris Singleton, who are still getting to know each other in the Fox Sports Wisconsin booth as the chairs, the musical chairs in there continue. So the Cardinals are like, all right, 2-1. And by Fox Sports Wisconsin, you know I meant Bally Sports Wisconsin. I just said it to be vintage and retro. And then Garcia comes to the plate.
Now Garcia, how about some more insurance? Wow, what a shot by Avi. Up and over the Miller Lite beer pen in left center.
Josh Hader then allows a few guys on the bases, but shuts it down for another save, and the Brewers win 4-1. So two nights ago, they cannot get any offense, especially when they need it. Last night, they still couldn't really get any offense unless the Cardinals gave them that opening. The error that allowed Lorenzo Cain to score earlier in the game, and then in the eighth inning where Vogelbach had struck out, but the wild pitch allowed him to get the first, and then the runs started to come in. Now, John Means, this strikeout guy advancing to first, this was a discussion a couple weeks ago because John Means for the Orioles threw a no-hitter. And the only thing that kept him from a perfect game was he struck a guy out, but because of a wild pitch, that guy was able to get to first base. And there's been a lot of discussion about that. Should that actually be an out? If you swing on the third strike, why do you get to go to first base? You're out. You had three strikes. You used them all. You are out. Do you have an opinion on this, Sam, where you stand on this?
I think it should stand. You know, with the drop third strike, the catcher has to complete the process.
So it's got to be in the glove for the out.
I look at it like, you know, in the NFL, like, what is a catch? You got to complete the process.
Even though he swung.
It's been a rule since, you know, I don't know how long it's been a rule, but if it's been around here this long, let's not go, you know, 2021 where we got to change everything and, you know, it's been around for so long, I think we can live with it. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a burning hot take on this or not. I never thought that it should be changed until people started talking about it with John Means the other day, because when that is the thing that separates you from a perfect game and a no-hitter, I mean, it's kind of a bummer. He still got the no-hitter, but he had the out. And you get a free out. So I'm sure St. Louis fans today are thinking, well, wait a minute. That kind of sucks. We got out of the inning. We got a 1-2-3 inning, and then Vogelbach of all people, trots his way down the first because of the wild pitch. It's been the rule forever. Sam's right. They are changing a boatload of rules. But I one way or another, I don't have an opinion on it. Right now, I think I like it.
I know a lot of people.
Because the Brewers won.
I know a lot of people hate it, especially I've heard Max Scherzer just blast this rule.
Well, I think the pitchers don't like it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like I think Pitching Ninja on Twitter kind of started this whole trend this year that it shouldn't be a rule. And then other people, like national reporters, hopped on it and gave their opinion. So it's mostly the complaint of the pitchers that's fueling this.
Well, I mean, think of the pitcher. Think of how you're trying to get a guy out. So I think of immediately when I think of low and away, if you're going to throw low and away to get a guy to swing, I think of Corey Hart. So let's say that you're a pitcher and you know this guy bites on everything you throw low and away and you want to strike him out because he's going to swing. So you throw low and away, he swings at it, but your catcher can't get there. So the pitcher's getting penalized.
Well,
even though the guy, you got him to swing, you got him to commit to the strike, but it's your catcher failed you.
Well, let's look at it like this. If you're in extra innings, or, you know, if there's a runner on third base and you're the batter and it's a, you know, drop third strike or whatever, what, we're just going to call the inning and the ball goes to the backstop while the runner can't have a chance to score? We're just gonna call it there? That's the inning?
No, I get what you're saying. It's a rule that is being, I mean, baseball, I think, is a long way from being perfect to the point where everyone's like, all right, we're done with the rules. These are the rules. And let's keep them like this. Because there's constantly tweaks. And there's a lot of, I think the hot discussions this year have been about the rules that have been implemented that have changed. I think the you have to face three batters thing is still stupid. And that's the one I always forget about. The extra inning runner, it is exciting and it is thrilling. I don't like it in principle. I enjoy watching it. I don't like that I enjoy watching it. It doesn't make any sense. But yet, I'm constantly intrigued by it and find it to be fun. There's a lot of talk about the strike zone this year because it umpires seem to have gotten worse with the strike zone. and robot strike zones are coming at some point.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that. There was a strike called on Mookie Betts, I think, two nights ago, where it was so bad. It was so inside. It was about a foot inside, and umpires still called him out.
Isn't the strike zone weird to begin with?
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying.
I mean, it's arbitrary. It's not a real thing. But we all know it's a real thing. Like, we can watch a pitcher throw and say, well, that's a strike, or that's a ball. But there's no, like, you have to throw it in a certain box or a certain frame. There's the guidelines, yeah, the knees, the shoulders, you know, we get what the strike zone is, but it changes based on how tall the batter is. It's just weird. It's just a weird thing that we have just accepted, and now we want to automate something that doesn't technically exist, although if you frame it there and then go from there, I suppose. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us, 1250 AM The Fan. So offensively, the Brewers do luck in to four runs. You know, Garcia hit the home run, of course, but he really shouldn't have been up in that situation had the out been secured. But the Brewers do get the victory. They do beat the Cardinals. And now the rubber matches today at 1240. And I hate to break this to you, but the game is on YouTube only.
That's fine. It's if you have YouTube TV, you can. It's just another channel for you.
Oh, so I guess, yeah, most people like this.
Yeah. And you can just, you know, if you have YouTube TV, chances are you have something that also has the YouTube app, so you can really access it anywhere.
All right, so all you people that are struggling to get Bally Sports, you like this.
Yeah, this is a...
Because on YouTube.
This is a game you don't have to worry about, you know, watching, you know, using somebody else's account or whatever.
But for me, who I like to just watch it on my TV... Mm. I got to pull up the Fire Stick.
See this part? It's the world's smallest violin.
I got to find YouTube. I got to find the stream. You know who always has a hard time with this is like bars. because they're like, oh,
yeah. I don't know how they do that. But, I mean, who's going to the bar at, you know, 12:40 on a Thursday?
I'm actually going to a bar today to watch the game. Or that was my plan.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a good one. Corbin Burns versus Jack Flaherty. We got a pitcher's duel going.
So I'm going to go to the bar. They're going to have MLB Network on, and I'm going to be watching it on my phone is what's going to happen.
Probably.
Where there's who goes to the bar 12:40 on a Thursday? Who are you talking to, friend?
Because I don't think we've had YouTube. When I was working in the bars, I don't think they had YouTube TV games or YouTube games yet. So I don't know if we ever had to address that
issue.
Did
they have Facebook games at that point? That was the rage a couple years ago.
I think they did, but I don't think we ever. We were like closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I don't think it probably.
Yeah, you just said screw it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Bar Winkler, Sam Schmitz, the game again on YouTube today. 414-799-1250. Corbin Burns back. Brandon Woodruff yesterday, great. We'll take a look at how just an insanely great start. He had the bad opening day, or for him, a rough opening day. Ever since then, he's been tremendous. More on that next.
No, to be honest, I really didn't know where my pitch count was until, you know, probably about the seventh. I didn't have I'm so focused on what my job is to do that I really just lose track of that. But then I peaked there in about the seventh and realized I had a pretty good pitch count, but just ran into a little bit of trouble there in the eighth and gave up a couple of hits, and then a walk there. So it kind of put it on the back burner a little bit for complete game. So definitely the right time to come out and make the change there. And, you know, I really didn't pay attention to it that much, to be honest.
Brandon Woodruff was really dealing again last night. Again, the starting pitching for the Brewers has been incredible. And you cannot waste – you're going to waste a game or two every now and then when you have a good starting pitching performance. But you can't make it a habit. And the Brewers wasted Freddie Peralta's outing the other night. And it looked like they were going to waste Brandon Woodruff's again, as they only had one run through the seven innings. He finishes what he does, 7 2/3, gives up the one earned. It was the home run that barely got out of there and struck out 10. His ERA at 1.64 for the season. And if you take out opening day, he's had seven starts. They've all been quality starts. In those seven starts, 45 2/3 innings, he's at a 1.19 ERA. So the 1.64 ERA is already tremendous. But if you just go with the seven after opening day, a 1.19 ERA, a 0.61 whip, and 58 Ks. Woodruff has been terrific. I mean, you look right now and say, oh, Corbin Burns, you can't be better than him. Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns, now who is back, and he was asymptomatic, did have COVID, so he's back. And he got some workouts on the Peloton bike. I feel like I have to mention that because everybody else did. Hey, did you know that in the offseason, Brandon Woodruff played catch with his wife?
What?
Yeah, people forget. Hey, did you know that Giannis is going to be a dad again for the second time?
Yeah, I didn't realize that until like 10:30 last night. Good for him.
Oh, yeah. Big news.
Congrats.
Big news.
He could be Giannis. A freak on the court. And on the shits, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, how many kids are you going to have there? So that's two, and he's got four brothers.
I would assume probably the same amount of his brothers.
See, I have three brothers, and we had one kid, and there's no. He ain't getting no brother.
I don't know. I thought he was
no sister.
I thought he was just going to be fine with Liam and all that. I wasn't expecting another one until like a couple of years. This is quick.
This is quick.
Quick turnaround.
A very quick turnaround.
Hey, did you see what our good buddy Adam McKelvey tweeted about Woodruff?
What did our good buddy Adam McKelvey say?
Brandon Woodruff has the lowest run support per nine innings of any qualifying starting pitcher in the majors at the moment.
Yeah. Not surprised.
So he is the new Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. What are the top three? Him, Burns, and Freddie probably?
Yes.
I got that for you right here, Todd. Thank you.
But
and then maybe DeGrom.
Nah, DeGrom's been getting pretty good run support.
Yeah, the Mets are winning, I guess. I haven't seen the Mets play in a week. Everyone I follow on Twitter for some reason loves to talk about the Mets. So Woodruff has been great. You can't waste these performances. You can't waste these outings. And the Brewers do get a good outing from Woodruff, and thanks to an error by the Cardinals, and thanks to that drop third strike, the Brewers do get four runs, win 4-1, 20-17 on the season. Two games back of the Cardinals at this point at 22-15. Brandon Woodruff getting better with every game. Craig Counsell.
It's a lot of fun watching like a pitcher, that a good pitcher, even become better. And that's a really good pitcher become better. And that's kind of what's happening right now. And, you know, it's just, everything's just a little bit better, I think, with him. And he's completely in control of kind of his, you know, emotional state out there. And it's just, he's competing really well. Nothing really gets him off it. And then he's just got an incredible fastball, and that the fastball that he can just pour in the strike zone located, just makes the hitter have to be aggressive because he's throwing so many strikes, and you know, he's able to kind of get through innings pretty efficiently.
I mean, look at the staff right now. This is the staff that we have dreamed about. I've been screaming for a good starting pitcher forever, and the Brewers have had these guys growing and growing and growing. Woodruff, Burns, Freddie. Hauser's been good.
Oh, Hauser's last two starts.
I don't know who the hell the five is right now.
Anderson.
Well, but Brett Anderson pitches that, a.k.a. bullpen day.
Hey, it works, though. It's been working. So, we'll just keep riding the lightning.
Big Brett Anderson fans on the show. But you have the starting pitching, as good as it is, they're three games over 500. So on one hand, we've been talking all the injuries, all they've had to deal with. Wow, they're 20-17. That's amazing. On the other hand, look at this pitching staff. They're only 20-17. So the constant struggle between great pitching and bad hitting continues for this Milwaukee Brewers club. More on the crew throughout the show today. We've got Jim Paschke coming up at 8:30. Paschke Ball. We've got Pat Baldwin Sr., 9:30. Loaded show! What about next?